Ah, home sweet home. The place to recharge and relax. Wait, what the fuck? Are those two random dogs fucking in my room? Sometimes our peace is interrupted by a thing called a roommate. Most of us have had them, some of us love them, and some of them are just straight up unhinged. Today, we're sharing every ridiculous roommate story we have because this is Bitch Out of Water, a show about trying stuff. Sometimes it's not by choice, like the person you're living with turning out to be weirder than Rudy Giuliani selling discounted slides for old men. I'm Steph, joined by my two favorite cowgirls in the galaxy, Roxy Stryer.
Hello, I've had so many weird roommates, girls, guys, gay, straight, older, younger, friends, enemies, boyfriends, siblings, you name it, I've had it. Can't wait to talk about it.
Does not discriminate. Everyone has the chance to be a ridiculous roommate here today.
Absolutely.
We got Dorina in the house.
Hola, hola. Y'all know I hate reality TV, but can we make this a competition episode where at the end we pick who has the worst roommate, or better yet, which one of the three of us is the worst roommate?
Ooh, ah,
fuck yes, that's that sounds amazing. This is an episode where we really get to revel in our past pain and now look at it as comedy, because there's no other choice but to laugh at the freak show moments that we've had in our life. I'm going to start with someone who has by far the weirdest things happened to her out of anyone I've ever met in my life. That's good old Roxy.
Okay, so I've had some crazy, insane roommate stories. I was thinking about this morning. I've had over a dozen roommates in my life, so that gives you plenty of time to have a lot of wild roommates. And at one point, I had 5 roommates at a time. I've also lived with significant others, so I'm pulling stories from all different walks of life, but this is probably my most insane story, not just roommate story, but insane story, period. It could be a whole podcast within itself. So I will just start us off with something that was like a true, true life-changing roommate story that was insane. So I was living with who was my BFF in college, and we had lived together for all 4 years. We had moved from apartment to apartment together, and at this point, we were living together with several other roommates. It was this girl's 21st birthday, and for her 21st birthday, she wanted us all to go to a football game. So at USC, tailgating was massive, a huge thing for us, and so we ended up going to the tailgate, and on my way there, I saw a stranger, a freshman girl who I didn't know. I know she was a freshman because I looked at her ID tag, and she was passed out in her own puke on the quad. And so I was like, you guys keep going to the game. I'm going to take care of this girl and make sure she's okay. People were stepping on this girl as they were walking by. Long story short, I get this girl back to her place. I get her into her room. I'm feeding her crackers and water. And then I leave my number to make sure that she knows she can call me to make sure that she's okay, and made sure that she was not going to die by stampede. I leave that. They've already left the game. It's been hours now. And they're at our very classic school bar. So I said, I'm going to come to the school bar. I can tell that my roommate is so mad at me. She's furious with me. How dare you miss the game on my birthday? Yada, yada, yada. Just so upset. But I was like, it's her 21st birthday. We're just going to show up. We're going to be sunshine and rainbows. She's not going to be mad at me for long. I was taking care of a drunk girl. I wasn't like I was the drunk girl. So I get to the party. She's avoiding me, or to the bar. She's dip, dodge, duck, not speaking to me. Finally, she's like, can I talk to you for a second? So she pulls me to the side. And she said, listen, I've been talking to your mom, and she is so disappointed in you. She's so mad at you, and she cannot bear how you're treating me. Now, keep in mind, at this point, my mom has been dead for over a year. And so I turned to the girl and was like, watch your mouth. Understand it's your birthday, but watch your mouth. And she was like, remember when freshman year, and this is true, freshman year, she told me, I speak to dead people. I kind of brushed by it because I was like, all right, word, dope, go on with your bad self. She never brought it up again. And she had said it when we were really drunk. And so in this moment, she's like, your mom came to me today. We've been talking all day. And she's just so disappointed in the woman you've become. How dare you not be with your best friend on her birthday? And I was like, I actually hate you. Like, that is so cruel to say to me and so untrue. If you knew my mom at all, you would know how proud she was of me that I just saved this random stranger's life. Like, she was getting stampeded on. She would never say that to you. You effing faker. I can't deal with you today. I'm going home. I ended up going home, and her boyfriend greeted me there. He lived in the apartment below us, which is something that happens a lot of times in colleges. You guys, like, all just live on top of each other. And he ended up calling the police on me because he said that I broke and entered into his place, which did not happen. He was standing at his doorway and, like, was there when I got home screaming at me. And they came, and when my roommates got home, the cops literally were trying to arrest me, and my other roommates were all screaming, sobbing, crying because the cops were like, she said your mom is very disappointed in you. And I was like, my mom is dead. It's a real story. Real story. Then this woman and I, the roommate and I have 4 years, we never spoke again, and we stayed living together for the entire duration of college. The rest of the year, our senior year, she lived there. Not one of my roommates would speak to her. We lived in the same 5-bedroom place for an entire 6 more months. It was excruciating. So painful. Her older sister sent me a text message that said, Roxy, why are you bullying my sister? Why do you want her out so bad? And I wrote her back a text message that said exactly what her sister did. And she just wrote back to me, got it. Thank you for explaining.
Nah, fam.
Unreal. One of the craziest roommates that I ever had to deal with. To this day, it is a decade later, we never spoke again.
So this is not literally like the first freaking time in this podcast already, in a previous episode, that for some reason people like to bring Roxy's dead mom to the conversation in order to shame her for things that she didn't do. But just to say, like, is this a concept that people use that I had no idea existed? What is that about?
Absolutely, Dee. You would be shocked, or maybe not, because not much surprises you, but to learn how many times in my life my dead mother has been thrown in my face as, like, you need to shape up tool. And I'm not talking about in a way where my family's like, Rox, mom would want this, you know? I'm talking about, yes, my ex-boyfriend's mom used to throw that in my face. And yes, my roommate, I'm talking to her and she's so disappointed in you. You effing psychopath. You effing psychopath. To the point that none of my other roommates, because they all witnessed it, none of them would speak to her because they were like, we're afraid of this girl. This is scary.
Yes. You can't see this unless you're a patron. My jaw has been to the floor for the duration of this entire story. Because, first of all, keep my best friend's mom's name out your motherfucking mouth.
Out of your motherfucking mouth. Like, insane. And she used to hold, because we were friends in freshman year, she used to hold that over my other roommates who I knew later because she had actually met my mom. So it was even more disrespectful because it was like, you met my mom? My mom was like, both of my parents, honestly, are like, if there is a spider that is hurt, you put a cup, you get the piece of paper, you bring it outside. Like, you don't let anybody suffer, no matter what it takes. Like, my mom wouldn't have given a shit about somebody's birthday. It's her 21st birthday. Like, who cares? This girl's getting stampeded in her own puke on the ground. My mom would have been like, way to be the person that I raised you to be. But this girl is so conceited that she made up that she was speaking to my mom and told the cops that. You crazy person.
That is the worst version, I guess, allegory to the sixth sense I've ever heard. I talk to dead people, including your mom.
Yeah.
Because I just, no matter how annoyed I am at somebody, I would never use their dead, whomever, loved one, against them. It's like, oh, let me, like, that's like one of the worst, if not the worst, manipulation tool. That's really messed up.
And it doesn't work.
No.
Because the person who knows their dead person best is that person. So it makes no sense, but I figured if we were finally doing a roommates episode, I had to start us off with a bang. Crazy enough, I think I have other almost equally as bizarre stories, so we're in for a wild ride today.
That's wild. I just also have to say, she's a fucking snitch. She went to the Po.
She went to the fucking Po.
Oh my god. Like, I couldn't even get to that part because it's the most disrespectful part is the mom. Oh my god.
They claimed that I like pushed her boyfriend, that I broke and entered. Like, they made up all these things, and all of my roommates were like, that's not what happened.
So she's a lying narc.
Yes. The most dramatic night of my life. Like, coming home and having 6 cop cars outside of my place, which was a very public, on the row place. Everybody texting me, you good dog? Like, it was insane.
Well, I'm glad that you no longer live with her. Thank you for sharing that horrific piece of literature with us. Darina, I know you've had some good experiences, but you had one that I've been waiting to hear about. I've never heard you say anything about this until today. So what the hell happened?
So y'all know me as somebody that likes her peace and doesn't really like getting into confrontations unless necessary. And when I was in college, we had a very nice dormitory situation in like a newer building in San Diego in the whale's vagina. And I was one of 4 people. We each had our own room and shared 2 bathrooms each. It was a very nice situation for like living in college. And I already live with 2 people that were actually very good friends. One of them still is one of my best friends. So we had a very sweet, awesome living situation, except for this one person who ended up moving in at the beginning of the semester that was a random roommate. And I was like, well, this a best friend of mine that has now become my best friend was a random roommate of mine. And that's how we met. So of course, you know, thinking positively and optimistically, we're going to meet some cool person that could just be one of our friends. She comes in with her mom, very sweet, both her and her mom. I'm the only one there. We meet. And then she decides to go into one of my other roommate's room and decides to put all her stuff there. And I said, oh, just so you know, this is your room, not this one. Like, this is, you're in C and she's in D. So this is where my other roommate is already signed up for this one. So this is where you belong. But she wanted to take the bigger room. So like, that was like the first kind of weird thing that I was like, oh, so she's just deciding to get the nicer thing, even though she's coming in here as like a new person, right? Even though she was perfectly sweet, as was her mom. So little things like that started happening where, number one, her mom was with her all the time. Her mom would stay with us at the college dorm several nights, especially as she was, you know, leaving her daughter there for the beginning of the semester, I guess, just to help her settle. And then she was actually very nice to me. I don't know if it's because we were both minorities, but she would leave me little notes on my desk saying, hey, there's this soccer game. You want to, you know, like if you want to go. And I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to try to like be friends with this new person. I had no idea that I would come home after class and my other 2 roommates would start using AIM back in the day and telling me, is that you? Are you here? Because I had no idea that they were actually like scared of her as time progressed. And they started telling me all of these weird things she would start doing that I started noticing. Like, for example, she was very clean, which I appreciate because I'm a clean person too. But she would make sure that the kitchen and any of the common room areas were to her specific liking. She would move our stuff around and she would get very annoyed if things were not clean. If somebody left the door propped open because guests were coming in, she would come out of her room and close it, right? Like just very little kind of like passive aggressive things that she wouldn't communicate to us, to the point where eventually she started complaining secretly to our RA. If you guys don't know what an RA is, a resident assistant or advisor in a college dormitory that basically helps, you know, keep the peace and with any sort of roommate issues. And she started calling them and complaining about not me, but the other 2 girls that I live with, and including the fact that they were bringing guests or that they were dirty or that they were too loud. Just really random things, to the point where eventually she started calling one of the roommates racist towards her. And eventually this girl, that my friend that was supposedly the racist person, who was like the least racist person I know, she had her boyfriend of years sometimes stay with her. And because of weird college rules, you weren't supposed to let boys sleep over at that specific dormitory. Granted, everyone did it. Nobody narked on each other because why would you? Who gives a shit? So we get woken up in the middle of the night by the school cops and the RA banging on my closer roommate's actual door and saying something about, like, is there a boy in there? Super, like, Law and Order type cop shit. And so the boyfriend is there. He gets up. He has to put his clothes on. He's like, what's going on? He's like, we have to get you out of here. And they literally kicked him out. And for no reason. Like, nobody was being loud, obnoxious, drunk, sex. Like, everyone was sleeping. This was at, like, 2 or 3 in the morning. And so it was so insane to me, because I would never do that to somebody, especially if nobody's actually being, like, aggressive to me. So this happens. And then eventually we end up complaining to the RA about this. So in perfect private university fashion, it's basically like trying to contact Congress to get things done, where we would have resident assistant or resident advisory meetings. So there would be a moderator between the three parties affected and the one party of this roommate being a complete asshole. And throughout the whole meeting, nothing would get done or said, because every time we spoke, she would be like, I'm being triggered. Like, this girl was Gen Z before Gen Z existed. And you could even see it in the RA's eyes. Like, he would, like, be exasperated and kind of roll his eyes, because he understood that this person was not okay. And she was basically being, like, literally, like, this authoritarian roommate of, like, we're going to live in this place that I'm a newcomer and make everyone live how I want. Also, this girl's racist. The other one doesn't want to hang out with me. And this third one is messy. Like, it was just such a bizarre thing that lasted for weeks and months, that we complained so much about her. They would not remove her. We would just be like, yo, move her to another apartment, move her to a dorm by herself, switch her with someone. But this is not working out, to the point where they would not listen, where I literally had to be like, I'm gonna call my mommy. I'm gonna call my mom, who's a lawyer. And she wrote them a freaking letter and was like, this is no longer helpful to my daughter and her roommate's health. This is not a healthy working place. The girls are legitimately scared to come home because this girl, they don't feel safe with her presence. And then, of course, once a parent complained, the freaking school actually, like, moved her.
It's crazy, because it's like, don't they understand that you're an adult? You're over 18. You're an adult. You should be able to choose who you're living with. And if all three of you didn't think she should live there, that's super wild. I wonder why do you think she was like this? Like, was she just used to having her way, or was she jealous that people had boyfriends and lives, or did you ever figure out, like, what this was coming from?
I don't know. And it's interesting because she was a quiet, aggressive person, right? She was never, like, confrontational. She wouldn't leave her room ever. And she would never, like, come out and, like, try to pick a fight, except that one time that she called my friend racist. It was just a very random, bizarre thing. But the fact that she was so attached to her mom, I'm sure everybody's bullshit comes out in their traumas from previous experiences, right? So she must have had a really crappy experience when she was a kid. Or maybe she went to, like, a school where there weren't a lot of minorities and she got treated a certain way. So she has something against, like, white people, which, come on, don't we all if we're minorities? But not to that point, right? Because she would also have guys stay in her room and, like, come and, like, nobody would care. Would be like, go on with your bad self. Good for you. Right. So the fact that she called the freaking school cops on this guy is just bizarre. On my friend's boyfriend, who was just sleeping there. Like, imagine being woken up. It's like a waste of time for the school cops to even do stuff like that. Like, it was just so bizarre. And I really don't know where it comes from, but she was an authoritarian asshole, I think. And I hope that she's changed.
You haven't talked to her since?
No, because she lasted like a couple of months, right? But I just remember how annoying it was to deal with it with the school, because we tried to, like, deal with it ourselves.
And you're paying like an college rent is so expensive and they give you no renter's rights because it's a part of your tuition.
Yeah, it's just a bizarre thing because I'm like thinking back, you're like, it wasn't that bad, but like my two other roommates would not come out of their rooms when she was there. Like that's how scared they were of her. And then once I would come home, they'd be like, okay, Darina's here and she'll keep the peace or whatever. But most people don't want to deal with that shit. So they just hid and like, you know, kind of let her run things. But then, you know, when I got there, I was like, no.
That's awful. That sucks.
Wow. That sucks, man. But I'm glad you guys got her out of there because, geez, I can't believe she didn't ask to leave. That's how you know someone's up to something, when they want to stay in a situation that's also not good for them. Then you have to ask yourself, why are you still here?
Well, that's, I guess, to go back to Roxy's initial question, I think some people really just don't want to see that they could be contributing to an issue, right? Like some people, I don't know if it's a narcissism thing, I don't know. It's just the fact that everybody around them are to blame, right? And everyone is attacking them and they are the victim in this sole issue, even though there's three people that are just trying to like live their normal college lives.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Just like the person I'm about to tell you about. I have never in my life experienced anyone like this person, and I don't think I ever will experience anyone like this person. We went to college together, but we weren't that great of friends. But I knew enough about her, met her family. We were pretty good friends, actually, but not like living together. There's a difference between being friends with someone and living together. When you live with someone, you see an entirely new side of them. The facade that they put on in the public is completely different when there's a door closed behind them and it's their house. And her family was legitimate billionaires. Like actual billionaires. I mean that like Forbes 400 billionaires. And if you don't know this about billionaires, I want to say 99% of them are fucking weird. And there's a reason why they can become billionaires after studying her. This is what I found. And they had a lot that they bought in Beverly Hills that they were gonna eventually remodel, and it was built in the 60s. But until it remodeled, they offered her to rent out the house with me and another girl. And I was just moving to LA, and to hear an offer like that, like you're gonna be in the hills, bro. And it was like this sick ass, looked like a Playboy mansion for the 60s type house, like overlooking the entire valley. I was like, fuck yeah, what can go wrong? Not knowing that I was about to live with the Tiger King of Beverly Hills. I mean that because I found out before Tiger King came out that people who are often obsessed with animals, like everything they own is animal print. They have pictures of their dogs everywhere. They have sculptures of their dogs. Whatever pet it may be, they're often not even good to animals. It's a weird form of narcissism where, in her case, she would buy the most beautiful dogs ever. Her first two dogs were blue-eyed and like golden hair, part wolves that you can't even get in California because they're illegally bred. They're bred in states like Arizona, and she would bring them. And I found out pretty quickly moving into the place that the dogs were not even kept well. Like I would come home to shit literally everywhere. And if I would go out of town for a week, I would come back and see like shit steeped into the carpet. It got so bad that finally I had to tell the mom, who was the manager of the home, essentially, like, we need a new carpet. I was the one trying to clean out the shit stains. And a carpet person came in and they assessed the situation and they said the poop has seeped through the carpet onto the cement so bad that you have to rip it out. And we had to literally lay Clorox down onto the cement for 48 hours and clear the house so that they could clean all the shit that had seeped in. And this was only within a few months of living together. And this is just like the surface of how bad it got. So every month, her obsession with dogs and animals became worse. So much so that at one point I came home, and I'm not kidding you, there was 7 dogs in the house. 2 of them were in the front, but then I could hear something going on. I walk into my room and there's two dogs fucking on my bed because she was illegally backyard breeding these animals in the house in my room. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? The next week, she had a dog that fell out of the car and she brought the dog home. And I was like so concerned about this dog. I love dogs. I could clearly tell something was wrong. And she's like, Willow, she's not eating. And I was like, she's not eating because something's seriously wrong. And I was like, we need to take her to the vet ASAP. I've never seen a dog like this. Something is seriously wrong. We take her to the vet, bro. Her entire femur is shattered. Shattered. And they were like, what happened? She's like, she was putting her head out the window and she flew out. And I was like, no, bitch, you are Cruella de Vil. I've seen the way you drive. You whipped a left turn with the window wide open and the dog fell out. And all of the dogs had serious issues like this happening to them. One got into a chicken coop, had like 18 stitches on their paws. One ran out and got killed by a car. And this was like one after another, this was happening.
Oh my God. This is so sad.
That's so fucked up.
It was so sad. And I was so young. What I should have done was called Animal Protective Services. But this was like a really coming of age story for Steph in a lot of ways, because I didn't know A, when enough was enough, and B, what was actually happening. I just was like, I'm paying lower rent than anyone I know in LA for an insane house. And it's hard to like weigh out what's good and what's not, and like what's morally right and what's morally not. And all the while she was dating this one guy who was like one of those power lifters who does like bodybuilding competitions and was like a walking thumb. He could barely even like close his arms because there was so much muscle. He was taking steroids. He would inject her with steroids. Like I would come home and her like ass was out getting injected with steroids from him. And one day I came home and she's like, Steph, come in the room. I hear Game of Thrones music playing. And this is the time of Game of Thrones. And she's like wrapped in this blanket. And they were basically asking me if I wanted a threesome. And I was like, oh my God, hell no. And that's when I started to be like, I have to move out. But it wasn't until this is the craziest part of the story. At the time, I was dating a guy who was Black. I say this because it matters for the story. And we were home. She was gone all the time with the guy who did steroids. So she would be gone for months at a time. And one of my other roommates, we lived with one other girl, was doing work in Kenya. Or no, it was in Cambodia at the time. So she was gone for a month. So I knew that I had the house alone. And that's when I had him over, because I wouldn't put him in. No, I couldn't invite people over because the house was so outrageous if she was home. So it's 12 p.m. I know this because we had just finished the finale of Insecure. And it's like pitch dark out and we were going to go to bed. And all of a sudden at the back, my door was adjacent to a backsliding door. And all of a sudden, I hear the backsliding door not just like trying to be opened, but viciously and violently trying to be broken into. And I was like, holy shit, what is happening? And I text both of my roommates at the time to make sure that it's not them. And they don't answer, but I assume that's because it's not them. They're not home yet. And I was like, oh my God, the house is getting broken into. This is so insane. Like I had never felt that fear. It was slamming in and out, bop, 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 breaking. Like no voice. I was like, hello, no voice, nothing. No ring at the doorbell, nothing. So I was like, my brain really went into like assessing the situation. If someone's trying to violently break open the door, they're a fucking violent criminal. Like I'm gonna die. I literally thought I was gonna die. So it's me and my boyfriend. We go into my closet and we're curled in the corner. I have my field hockey stick. I have no other weapon of use. And I'm literally texting my mom saying like, there's someone in the house, mom. And he's like freaking out. And I was like, waiting to the last second because I did not want to call the cops because, like I said, my boyfriend was black and I didn't want something to happen where the cops mistook him as someone and killed him. I was like deeply afraid that this was going to happen. So I'm on the phone with, I finally have to call the cops because the banging won't stop. It's getting louder and louder and louder. And I'm on the phone shaking, crouched in the corner, like there's someone breaking into the house. But I'm with my boyfriend right now. He's in a plaid shirt. He's black. Like I was like, I'm brown. Please, like, don't mistake us. Like, so afraid that like something horrible is going to happen. If the person didn't kill us, maybe the cops would. I was so, they're like, there's no cops in the area. It's going to be about 5 minutes. We have a helicopter more nearby who can come circle the premises in 2 minutes. 2 minutes come by. It's the longest 2 minutes of my life. The entire house gets lit up with helicopter lights and they're searching the entire premises. And about 5 minutes comes by later and the cop is still on the phone with me. And he's like, we think we have someone in the front. They're driving a white Mercedes. And at that moment, I knew it was Cruella fucking DeVille. And they're like, can you go out and identify the person? And I go outside, bro, after like shaking, crying with my boyfriend. She's fucking laughing with the cops. She is laughing. And he goes, she says she lives with you. And I was like, yeah, she does. And then he's like, why would you do that and not ring the doorbell or knock before? And she's like, I thought it was funny. And we go back into the cops finally leave. We go back into the house. I'm not saying a word to her because I'm literally about to cut this bitch. Like, she put my life at risk. She put my boyfriend's life at risk. And she made me feel for the first time in my life that I was not going to make it. Texting my mom to say I love you. She comes, knocks on the door. I open it. Why are you being such a fucking bitch? That's what she says. I said, listen, if you don't step the fuck back from me right now, I'm going to beat your ass. And I've never spoken. I was like, I'm going to beat your ass. I need time to cool off because I actually can't look at you right now. And she starts like laughing and walks away. And then I knew I had to move out. And I was like, this bitch is crazy.
What is your boyfriend saying?
He is like free. He was actually being really great and like more, but he, like, we both thought we were gonna, he started holding my field hockey stick. Like, he was ready to fight. Like, he didn't know. And he was like freaking out. He's like sweating bullets. We're sweating. And I'm like, don't go out. Like, when I go talk to the cops, because I was just, and he's like, agreed. Like, I didn't want to put anything I could do to not put him in danger. But he was like freaking out for that reason. Like, I can't even imagine. It's like, you don't trust this person, but also like the only person who could kind of help us right now are the cops, who also we can't really trust. So, and then he was like, you need to get out of this. Like, this is actually, like, I've never witnessed something like this in my life. Like, at the hands of, like, someone for fun.
I kind of, after this story, would rather hang out with the actual Cruella DeVille. This person sounds like a nightmare. How long were you, by then, living with her? And did you literally move out, like, that week? Like, how did you resolve the situation?
I moved out. Funny enough, the audacity of that family, that I'd known for years at this point, dropped off a letter saying I had 1 month to move out. And I was like, I was gonna leave anyways, but now I want to stay because how dare you? And why wouldn't you just come up to me in person and tell me that you are renovating the house? Because I knew they were gonna end up renovating a house, but the way they did it was so like slimy. But so it ended up being within the next month or so I moved out. And we didn't talk for years. And recently she reached out. And I think she's actually done a lot of work and I really hope she's gotten better. But that's like a moment where you're like, I could never, like, I can't even think about the psyche of a person who would do that instead of knocking on the front door or ringing the doorbell or calling me, like, or like any, I don't know, like, it was just like there were so many layers to it. Like, I'm not even talking about the dog shit that was horrible, like, just like, it's like there, and there are more stories, y'all, I'm just scratching the surface, but that was the one where I was like, oh, I can't put like my loved ones' lives at danger right now, like, this, that's insane.
She's like the original HCP.
yeah.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go listen to our episode with Dr. Drea, who teaches us all about high conflict people, Steph's roommate being the OG. Holy crap, Steph.
You're such a fucking bitch. What?
That's amazing, because I just cannot imagine living that way. Now, I have a question here. Do you guys know if you get put on a list of, like, animal abuse? Because she should be on it.
Yeah, she should be on it. I don't know if there's, like, you know, the sex offenders list. Is there, like, an animal abuse website? I don't know.
Yeah.
If PETA wants to do anything actually positive, they should do that.
I know.
I really hope that you're right and that she's gotten help, because I just can't imagine living like that. Like, how do you just live as a chaotic freaking tornado and do not care about anybody that you live with or any of your loved ones or anybody that you're surrounded with? Like, your actions matter, and let alone just being that, I guess you're just crying for attention, maybe. I don't fucking know.
The weird part is that she's also another woman. And, like, if you are a woman, I'm shocked, Steph, that you made it that many years without being afraid for your life. I mean, I have been, like, so afraid for my life so many times, where I think I, like, it was really justified, not just, like, me being kind of nervous, like, really afraid for my life. I would be shocked to think if she'd never, prior to that point, as a woman living in effing LA now, never been afraid for her life. Like, to do that to another woman when, like, we all of us know what that's like.
Totally. I've had, like, little moments of being fearful or having, like, my instincts really kick off, having to leave a situation, knowing something was really bad about to happen. But I hadn't had, I'd never had to call the cops. Like, I like, at, like, that to me, because we all here at World Girl Nation, it's our last call. It's not my first call. Like, it took, like, a whole, like, yeah. But it's true. Like, as a woman, you should understand, like, because I could have been alone. My boyfriend could have not been there. And then how scary, much more scary that would have been. Actually, I don't know if it would have been more scary just because of the situation. But, like, yeah, to put another, I would never do that to another woman ever. So that was nuts, bro. Absolutely nuts. But Rox, do you have one more for us?
Yeah, I have so many stories, but this is just a fun little one of a crazy roommate that I lived with. She was doing crazy shit like this all the time. And luckily I was young enough that I kind of thought a lot of it was humorous. But I remember one time I came home from class, and when you're in college living with a bunch of people, everybody kind of contributes different furniture. Like, one person will buy the couch, one person will buy the coffee stand, you know? And I came home and all my furniture was painted blue. I was like, what happened? And she had just, like, painted my furniture blue and was like, look how dope this is. And furniture is extremely expensive, even if it's IKEA furniture. Like, when you're in college, it's still hundreds if not thousands of dollars all added up. And she had just painted my shit blue. And I was like, okay. And just, what are you going to do? It's blue. It is what it is. So I was just like, okay, and went into my room. And then later on, she was like, are you kind of annoyed with that? And I was like, I am. However, okay.
What?
Next time, don't touch my stuff, please. And I just kept it pushing because, like, what am I actually going
to
do?
Well, there's levels, right? Is it like, is she saying that she talks to your dead mom who's disappointed in you?
Exactly.
Or did she paint your furniture?
Like, she painted it like this hideous blue color that I had to throw all of my furniture out. Like, when I moved from college, it was just, and she didn't, like, sand it down. So by the time it was, a week had passed, the black furniture was poking through, the blue was on it, it was all dirty. If you put your cup on the table, the cup got blue.
Oh my gosh. Like,
yeah, it was wild.
Oh my god, that's such a good little story.
So many nice shades of blue, and she chose the bad one. It's a bummer.
Totally wild. And you just think to yourself, like, all right, I'm living with this person, so what am I going to do here? And I remember 50 times talking so much shit about her, but then to her it was just like, okay. Because I was like, am I going to scream at her? And then we're just going to be like...
stuck.
Yeah. So I said to everybody else, I can't believe she painted my shit blue. I'm so fucking annoyed. And then to her, when she asked me, are you annoyed? I was like, yes, I am. Yes.
Bro.
Yeah, I think that's not chill, bro. Wasn't chill.
I mean, at this point, I feel like if I were you, I'd just be playing that song by, what's it called? Eiffel 65. I'm blue and da-ba-dee-da-ba-da.
Totally. Totally. And every time I would come home, the furniture would be like more and more fucked up because she didn't know how to paint furniture. So every time I'd look at it, roll my eyes and walk into my bedroom just like, all right. Well, and we had a red couch.
So Rox lives alone now.
love that journey for me.
Dee, do you have another story for us?
Yeah, I mean, I have like little stories here and there. Nothing is as bad as that authoritarian person that we had to call the school congress to kick out. But I definitely have experiences, even people that I'm still sort of like friendly acquaintances with that weren't awful, but just really random shit that doesn't make sense that I'm sure you've all been through similar things. Like, for example, I had this roommate that didn't, it's similar to Roxy, she loved The Bachelor, like she loved all that reality shit, and I didn't, so I was like, oh, whatever. But I loved instead watching like sci-fi and fantasy, and so like that's back in the day where Battlestar Galactica was new, and that's actually how Brennan and I, my husband and I, were bonding over it, and I became friends with other people because of the show, because you know the nerdery brings people together. And it was her TV that we watched in the living room, and so sometimes she would come home and a group of us would be watching Battlestar Galactica, and she would get mad and upset. I think it's because she wasn't part of it, she wasn't part of the fun, but like she would like make it known, kind of like a little spoiled kid, even though she was an adult woman, that she didn't like us watching that show, that stupid shitty show on her television. And that she'd rather be watching, you know, The Bachelor or something else. So it's just like, it was really bizarre things like that that weren't atrocious, but they were very childish, including things like changing the thermostat and making the home extremely hot, right? For somebody that like me that grew up in 120 degree summer weather, I hate the heat. So if it's not cold outside, why have the heater on? Can somebody answer me that question?
Passive aggressive behavior.
Yeah, it's tough because with roommates, like, you're actually not just always friends either, so you don't have to invite your roommates to everything you're doing, but that's where you live, and so some people just feel like they have ownership of that space and you and the television and everything involved, and it's a very thin line of like, hey, I actually don't want to hang out with you right now, I just happen to be home.
Right. But also, I am not part of this group thing and I should have been invited, but I hate nerdy things, so I don't know how to deal with that because I want to hang out with you guys, but I don't want to watch this thing because it sucks. It's just really weird. This was, by the way, the same girl who's like, we're cool now, but back in the day, she literally, when I got engaged, she said, the first thing she said to me was, see, like, you don't even want to get married and you're engaged and I'm not. I'm like, thanks for the congratulations.
Word. Yes, this is about you. How'd you know?
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I wanted to make this moment about you. Wow. Just little one as we wrap up here. This is actually a roommate that I liked. She, bless her soul, she was so sweet. I lived in a similar apartment to Dee in college where there was two rooms and a bathroom. We got like the apartment dorm, which was really cool. And so I split it with one of my best friends, Jill. And then there was another room next to us with two girls. And one of the girls, the sweet one, about a month into living with each other, I woke up in the middle of the night and I felt someone at the edge of my bed. And I like freaked out and I turned on the light. And this bitch was sleepwalking naked and just at the edge of my bed.
Yes.
What did you do?
I said, but you're not supposed to touch sleepwalkers. So I like tried to gently like take her out without waking her up. And I was like, Jill, to my room. I was like, Jill, what do I do? We were like, I don't know.
How quickly did you realize she was sleepwalking? Like immediately did you know what was happening? Or were you like, what is she doing?
I said her name. and there was no motion. And then I heard, like, you know, when they mumble, I've been around sleepwalkers before, they mumble under their breath a lot of the time. So I was like, ah, she's sleepwalking. But I've never seen a naked sleepwalker because she didn't go to bed naked.
Oh, I used to do that.
Oh, really?
I was a naked sleepwalker. But the thing I'm confused about her about is you got to warn a bitch about that. Like, if you know you're a sleepwalker and you're living in a situation, that is something that you make very known. Like, hey, guys, I sleepwalk. This is what it looks like.
You left your room to enter my room at the edge of my bed. And, like, luckily, we're the best people for that to happen to. I thought it was so fucking funny and harmless. But I was like, girl, you gotta be careful. I could have knocked your ass out.
I mean, look, I get it because I sleep naked. So it makes sense because that's how some people are more comfortable. But Steph, were you actually expecting when you felt, you know, like somebody at the end of your bed, you're like, oh, finally, abusive Edward Cullen is here for me.
Yeah. I was like, finally, the man of my dreams is watching me sleep. This is exactly what I've dreamt of. No, I was flipped out. But I thought I instantly was able to. I'm glad I was able to realize what happened quicker than I think I would. I had a quick response because I feel like on another night, I would have just like accidentally hit her, like, or like punched her if she was at the edge of my bed.
100%.
Especially because you get scared easily. Like, you look at a sound and you're immediately like, what's going on? What's up there?
D, just so you know, most naked sleepwalkers actually don't sleep naked. You are sleepwalking and you get naked. It's like a common practice. I haven't sleptwalked in years, but I used to every time, the first when you start sleepwalking, I would take my underwear off, and that's how we would know I sleptwalked. I would put them in something. So, like, I'm talking about 8-year-old Roxy. I would take my clothes off, take my underwear, put it in the cereal box, and then go back up to my room and go back to sleep. And we would know I sleptwalked because we would find my underwear in the cereal. So embarrassing.
That is a bizarre cereal toy to find, is it Roxy's underwear?
Straight up. My brother was like, be 10. He was like, ew, ew. I was like, I didn't mean to.
You just pretend it was like a prank. Gotcha.
Yeah. Sleepwalk at naked and pee. Those are very common, to get naked and to pee wherever you sleepwalk to. It's really fun.
Oof. The human body.
Oh, God. Yeah, we've just scratched the surface. I would love to hear, if you're a listener of Bitch Out of Water, send us some of your crazy roommate stories at contact@theworldgirls.com. I would love to hear that. But we do have a question from one of our patrons. If you're not a patron already, patreon.com/theworldgirls, from Ryan Payne, who says, more of curiosity than a question, but have you ever found it easier to live co-ed, or do you prefer to live with roommates of the same sex?
I think we've all lived with roommates of both the same sex and the opposite sex. And I, not just with my ex-boyfriend, but I also, at one point, I was living in a 3-bedroom place with my gay BFF and my straight BFF, who were both men. And that was like maybe the easiest living situation of all time, because you're not fighting for bathroom time in the same way. And there's just something very chill about it. So to be honest, I would say that I have found it easier to live with people of the opposite sex, but I also have had great roommates of the same sex. I think that one of the perks of being of the same sex is, like, you know, you borrow each other's clothes, and there's like, you know, you can talk about like your vaginas and stuff, which is fun, and sync up on your cycles. But in the opposite sex, there's not even as much interaction sometimes, even when they're your homies. Like, you kind of can be more two ships passing in the night doing different things. So I think opposite sex is actually easier.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Rox, but I'm also like, it's about the person, you know, like I've had bad, what I you think women are cleaner, but then I had that one girl who was the dirtiest person I've ever met in my entire life, like ever. And then you have guys who are dramatic when you think guys might be less dramatic. So it's like so about the person.
Totally.
Yeah. But I have set my most fun living situation ever was with my gay best friend and my two like queer and straight, like it was like a mixture of like all of us.
Girls and guys.
Yeah, yeah. Girls and guys, queers and nots, queers and straights. And like, I loved that vibe. Like there was like this like community vibe there where we were all bringing something different to the house. And that was really fun.
It seems like the common denominator here then isn't really about gender, but gay men, because I also have lived, obviously I have in my current living situation, it's with dudes, but it's my husband and my boyfriend. So that's different, right? Because you're building a home together. But I have lived with both women and men. And when I live with a few men, but one time I live with this guy that's a gay friend of mine that I would just see him every so often because we both worked in the industry a lot. And he would come home and the only other person I would see sometimes is his boyfriend who would spend the night. They were both freaking beautiful and they were just walking around shirtless all the time. And then they would join me and watch Queer as Folk on Showtime and we'd drink wine and eat grapes and bread. Like that was for sure the best living situation I've ever had, even counting my wonderful husband and boyfriend.
That's amazing. My straight guy friends were really fun to live with too, to be honest, though. Like, they were such a blast. I think that really the common denominator is it depends on the person. Like, it truly does. And not just them. It depends on you as a person. Like, what are your priorities as a roommate? But I know a lot of people are afraid to live with somebody of a different sex than them. And I think that's ludicrous. Like, when you are an adult, definitely if you're looking for roommates, I see all the time my girlfriends will be like, only looking for female roommates. And it's like, why?
Yeah. Yeah, because I've met both. I'm a clean person. So that's something that bothers me is if my roommate or the person I live with is not clean. And that happens in both gender, baby.
Right. It's just not even it's not a factor for me. If I ever was looking for a roommate again, what sex they were wouldn't even be on the table as a compatible or not compatible thing.
Totally.
Yeah, completely agree. All right, moving on to one of our favorite segments, because there's always a pro and there's always a cunt. And when it comes to roommates, I would say pros are sharing clothes, like you just said, being able to share in expensive furniture or TVs, like you can split what you're getting. So that's nice that you don't have to fill up a whole house. If you're a woman, it is scarier to live alone. It's nice to have someone there that if you hear a weird sound, you can text about it and make sure that you can clear the house together. There's a little bit more safety there.
Yeah, the money thing for me is like such the major one. As I've lived alone for so many years now, it's not just the rent. It's like the utilities, dude, because making your house cold, it now is just all on you, or running the dishwasher, any of those things that you would split. So the best part about having a roommate is you can have a nicer place because there's two people paying for it.
Completely. That's the one thing that I'm like, I don't know how Roxy lives or my other friends live alone because it is so expensive, especially in the California, the Los Angeles. It's just crazy. Like you even just having streaming services shared, right? Like everything, utilities, like she said, water and power.
Internet.
Yeah, internet. Like the fact that you're paying like rent, it goes down, like you're literally paying for half versus like a lot of people in LA that end up living in a studio because they're alone and that's all you can afford.
Yeah, and even that's expensive. Like a lot of studios here are $2,000 a month, which is just insane. But there are, of course, major cons of having a roommate. I think that we went over several of them today, but your roommate could really destroy your peace. It can be really hard to find your peace when you have a bad roommate.
Yes. And be like in a gross, literally breathing shit situation. I was like breathing shit every day and every night. I can't believe that.
Yeah, because your home is the only place where you can really or should be able to control your zen and your peace. And it's so easy for the second party to disturb that, not just with normal things like cleanliness, but what we've been talking about, right? Like with my situation, I couldn't, and your guys's too, like I was not comfortable coming home And that's not good when you're not actually, like, when you're supposed to go home and be in peace, you can't even because you have a monster in your house.
Yeah, and it can destroy friendships too, because I have had two roommates who have been two of my best friends, and we just were not compatible as roommates. And it was really hard when we stopped being roommates to figure out our friendship side of things again. And it's not that they're a bad person or a bad friend. It's that for some reason, as roommates, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, that's a really good tip, honestly. If you're like, just like, you graduated college and you're looking for roommates, it's not always the best first option to pick your best friend. Just because you're their best friend doesn't mean that you can live with them greatly. I've lived with some best friends and it's been amazing. And I've lived with some where I'm like, I wish I didn't see that side of them. Like, I wish we could have just kept our friendship. And then also I'll say, I'm a really private person and you just don't have full privacy. Like, there's certain phone calls I don't want anyone listening to, at least while it's happening. And it's a weird feeling to be like in a fight or a serious conversation with someone about a family member, and you know that there's someone right next door that could be listening to me. It just kind of gives me the ick.
Totally. Just sharing common space in general, where you have to literally compromise your space and your privacy, is a big one.
Well, that wraps up this insanely fun, adventurous episode. Thanks for being a bitch out of water with us and learning about our ridiculous roommate stories. If you want to get all the World Girl things, go to patreon.com/theworldgirl so you can watch our podcast taping live, ask questions, see our faces, and get a bunch of cool benefits, and join our really dope community, the World Friends, where we're the only thing we're intolerant of is intolerance, and we'd like to tolerate everyone, including some of these crazy people that we've lived with. We go live on youtube.com/theworldgirls every Wednesday and Sunday night, and don't forget to follow us on social media, on Twitter and TikTok @theworldgirls, and on Instagram @worldgirlswap. We recently started this podcast, so please tell your friends about us, subscribe, and leave a review. We would really, really appreciate that. And a reminder from our dear Darina, we're all gonna die, so don't be a dick, stay wet, my friends, and be a good roommate.